Welcome to the presentation of Grupo Sura for the first quarter of 2019. My name is Sylvia, and I'll be your operator today. Right now, all the attendees are in the listening mode. Ahead, we'll have a Q&A session. For those that are listening in English and those that are connected only by web, please send your questions through the platform. Please keep in mind that this teleconference is being taped. Right now, I give the floor to Mr. Juan Carlos Gomez, Manager of Investor Relations, to begin this teleconference. Good morning. Thank you for joining us in this teleconference of results of Grupo Sura during the first quarter of 2019. I'd like to remind you that you can access this presentation at www.gruposura.com. There, you will also find the slides of this webcast. For those listening in English, the slides are both in English and in Spanish. Today, we are joined from Grupo Sura by our CEO, David Bojanini, by our CFO, Ricardo Jaramillo, and by our Legal Affairs VP, Juan Luis Munera. And from our subsidiaries, we have Carlos Oquendo, Corporate Finance VP of Sura Asset Management, and Juan Fernando Uribe, Finance and Investments VP of Suramericana. Now let's give the floor to our CEO, David Bojanini. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for accepting our invitation to the teleconference of Grupo Sura's first quarter results in 2019. To begin, I'd like to invite you to look at slide number five, where we'll see several highlights of Grupo Sura in this first quarter of 2019. Firstly, we'd like to say that all of our investments displayed a positive performance in the first quarter, and that obviously they contributed to the good results that we'll be discussing today. The businesses in general continue a good level of growth, which is reflected with operating revenues that grew to 5 trillion pesos, up 12.4%. We can tell you as well that unlike last year, the performance of the capital market has been very positive, and this has leveraged significantly the results of this first quarter. Also, I'd like to tell you that the holding had a good exchange effect in this first quarter, which also contributed to the profits. The operating profit of the quarter was 827 billion pesos, up 52%, while the net profit reached 560 billion pesos, increasing 80.6%. For this year, we estimate revenues from dividends for a figure that's slightly above the 1 trillion pesos. After paying different administrative expenses, interest, taxes, and distributing the dividends to our shareholders, we expect that we could have a free cash flow for this year of 330 billion pesos. Also, I'd like to remind you that our strategic priorities are still, firstly, the transformation and development of our businesses. The purpose here is to create more value to our customers, which is another one of our strategic priorities, and obviously, to keep the financial strength and our investment capacity. With this, then, let's listen to Ricardo Jaramillo, who will provide us more details about the results of Grupo Sura during this first quarter. Thank you, David. Good morning to everyone. Let's begin with slide six, with the financial statements of Grupo Sura. First, we'll highlight the financial situation. Looking at the left table, you can see how total assets decreased 5.3%, total liabilities decreased 9.1%. However, the equity, given the organic growth of the business and the profit, could compensate the exit that we made of the annuities unit in Chile, which grew 1%. When we look at the main accounts, we can observe that cash, investments, and properties and investment grew 4.7%, or 1.2 trillion. And it's important to highlight that these comparisons are made with December 2018. Non-current of assets available for sale, that is, the assets related to the company of annuities in Chile, already left our financial statements, and in turn the liabilities, non-current, available for sale, which are 4.2 9 trillion pesos. On the right, we can see the consolidated debt of Grupo Sura, in which Grupo Sura represents 51% and Sura AM 35% and Sura Americana 14%, totaling 9.7 billion. And as far as this year, we haven't made a relevant amortization that lowers this figure in line with the deleveraging process of the companies. Looking at slide 7, we see the individual debt of Grupo Sura and the amortization profile of that debt. The individual debt of Grupo Sura totaled 4.9 trillion, dropping 0.9%, 76% related to pesos, 23.9% to dollars. And we want to highlight that, as I said before, we haven't made amortization, but as we can see in the table or in the graph on the right-hand side, in the years 2019 and 2020, we have a service debt of 201 billion and 245 billion, which, considering the cash flow of the holding that we can see down 330 billion pesos a year, we have an indicator of the cash flow over the service of the debt 1.5 above times for the next 2 years. On the other hand, the indicators of the net debt of dividends and leverage are in proper levels, and again, so far this year, as we receive dividends, we'll start to see the 4.9 decrease in what we've announced in the market, which will reduce the capital this year from 432 billion pesos, reaching a level close to 4.5 trillion at the end of the year. Moving on to slide 8, we'll see a summary of the consolidated income statement of Grupo Sura. And here it's important to highlight that we're separating the operating part, so we'll look at the operating earning, and on the other hand, we have the components related to the separate financial result. Looking at the operating profit, this grows 52.1% in the quarter, and it's driven by the good yields of the different investments, particularly those that are shown in portfolio investments and net participation. The operating revenues of the company, as David said early on, is at 5 trillion, up 12.4%, and particularly very driven by revenues of commissions or fees, which grew 6.7, with revenues for services provided of growing 24, and revenues from investments growing 91%, and the equity method, which has, with different associates, associated companies, 64%, showing the good results of Bancolombia, up 60% in our equity method, Nutresa 44%, and Nutrotección 350%. When it comes to operating expenses, these reach 4.2 trillion, up 7%, below the growth of revenues. So these reached 827 billion pesos in the quarter of operating earnings. It's important to highlight also that the operating results, excluding the reserve, which had a very good result during the first quarter, grew 32%, which is equal to a very important growth. So we made an emphasis in the introduction to a new structure of the accounting reporting. So we see how on the top, we'll see the operating profit, and below, we'll see the financial result we can see in the table on the right-hand side, which we can see the interest paid for the debt and the exchange effect, plus the net of the result of the different hedges that we have in the holding. This financial result, when it comes to this first quarter, reached a negative of 105, lower than what we saw last year, given that we have an exchange effect that was positive during the first quarter. The other item that we want to highlight are the IFRS 16 implications, in which before we had different assets in a sublease. We had them with an expense in our income statement close to $32 billion. Of those $32 billion, we can see a distribution in depreciation, in interest, and in expenses and leases for a total of $47 billion. That is, our financial statement at the end of the net profit will have a lower profit or a more expense close to $15 billion in the quarter related specifically to the implementation of the IFRS 16 standard. So we end with net earnings, and as we saw in the introduction, it's very important, 560 billion pesos, up 80.6. Moving on to slide 9, we see graphically how the different businesses contributed to the growth of the consolidated net profit. So we begin with a net profit in 2018 of $310 billion, and we reach to the profit of $560 billion. And we can see in each of the components then that Suramericana contributed $17,700 in the increase, up 17.6%. Suda Asset Management contributed in the growth $96 billion pesos, up 72.6%. The companies that we included in the equity method, meaning the associate Bancolombia, Grupo Argos, and Grupo Nutresa, contributed $86 billion in growth for a growth of 46.6%, and Grupo Sura, as a holding in the consolidated, also had a positive contribution of $50.2 billion, mainly explained by the exchange difference that we saw in the previous slide. So now we reached the above-mentioned figure, and it's also important to mention that the net profit of the holding was 500 billion pesos, up 86%. Moving on to slide 10, we see the same portfolio, but looking at it in value, and we see how it consists of the portfolio of Grupo Sura in each of its main parts. Sura Asset Management valued, according to the last transaction made, with CIPQ at 10 trillion, the share of Grupo Sura, Suramericana, with a multiple of 1.8 times, an equity of 6.9, Bancolombia, Grupo Argos, and Grupo Nutresa at the value in the stock market, 9.3, Bancolombia, 4.2 trillion, Grupo Nutresa, and 4.2 trillion, Grupo Argos, and the other businesses close to 500 billion pesos, to reach a portfolio of 35 trillion. There are two things we want to highlight. One, in the financial services companies, which are 75% of our portfolio, close to 26.2 trillion. And second, 50% of that portfolio of the associates is listed, meaning the other 50 is not listed. Of that portfolio value, we subtract the debt of the holding, 4.9 trillion, so we reach 30.1 trillion. On the other hand, this is contrasted with the stock capitalization at March 31st at 21 trillion. The liquidity of the stock is at 17,519, looking at the common and preferential, and it's the third company in the market after Bancolombia and Ecopetrol. And lastly, the price of the share at the end of the quarter, which was at 36,000, grew 14.1% in the year, reflecting the recovery because of what happened in 2018, leaving the international fund. Now, let's give the floor to David to tell us about the highlights of Suramericana de Seguros. So I invite you now to look at slide 12, where we see the highlights of Suramericana. Firstly, the company during the first quarter issued premiums for 2.9 trillion pesos, which means an increase of 11.1%. In terms of healthcare, revenues from services provided climbed to 887 billion pesos, up 23.7%, And the technical result of the company grew 7.1%, which is mainly explained in the release of several reserves, as well as topics related to claims rates, which we'll be explaining to you ahead. The net profit of the quarter was 118 billion pesos, up 17.6%. This is the first quarter in which the life insurance in Mexico consolidates and contributes premiums for almost 50 billion pesos. And I'd like to also mention several of the figures that we see on the right-hand side, where you can see how the premiums are distributed in the different countries and per solution types, in which on the very bottom you can see that per solutions, there's a very significant diversification in the premiums received. For 2019, the growth strategy of Sudamericana is based on diversifying its solutions portfolio and on developing the markets in the countries where it operates with several projects like the ones that I'll talk about. Empresa Sura, which provides capabilities and competitiveness to the SMEs on key topics for their growth and assists these companies in the operating and emerging risks management. Cliente Sura, which starts to implement the coverage of the insurer, not only in the country of origin, but in 9 countries where Seguro Sura is present. In individual life, well, last year, we were implementing Life Solutions Individual in several countries of the region, and now this year, the idea is to consolidate these solutions of individual life in the different countries other than Colombia. And also, the idea is to advance in the transformation of the current channels and to create new channels that are pertinent and enable access for customers where, when, and how they want it. And with this, now let's give the floor to Ricardo Jaramillo, who will give you more details about the figures of Suramericana. Thank you, David. So let's begin slide 13 with the main financial indicators of Suramericana. We'd like to highlight a good level of the technical result explained by the good growth of the revenues and a lower constitution of reserves. First, let's highlight total revenues, which are retained premiums plus revenues from services provided, which are 3.2 trillion pesos, up 8.7%. These revenues are two. In premiums, which reached 2.7 trillion, up 11.1%, which shows us the good level in the different countries and business lines, still with the effects of the strategic decisions, such as not participating in the pension business, which had an impact in January, and several of the solutions, remember, that we equaled the production of the charge, which also has an impact on early in the year, and the effect of the devaluation in Argentina. The second component are the revenues from services, which reached 807 billion, up 23.7%, showing a good level of this healthcare segment. Now let's look at the indicators on the right-hand side of this slide. First, we begin with the claims plus reserves that show claims rate, and we see how the improvement of 2018 is seen 450 basic points. Services provided, secondly, also had some impairment on the margin of 210 basic points. However, we still see that it's at healthy levels. And the technical result, which reached 606 billion pesos, up 7.1%, which we think is very positive. The technical result is decreasing 30 basic points. On the lower part of the slide, we see revenues from investments, which grew 21.2%, driven by the variable renta variable de Colombia, inflation, and interest rates in the different countries, especially in Argentina. and a reduction in several countries of their interest rates, which shows the good levels of fixed income and operating expenses increased 20 basic points. On the other hand, taxes decreased 3.3%. On slide 14, you can see how is the increase of the net profit of Suramericana. Looking at the insurance business and the corporate segment have a positive contribution to the growth of profit. Total profit reached 118 billion pesos versus 100 billion pesos that we observed in the first quarter of 2018, up 17.6%. We see how life contributes 2.4 with a growth of 7.3 and healthcare decreased 2.5, which in the segments ahead will explain those three figures. And the corporate segment contributes close to 13.6 billion. On the other hand, on the right-hand side, you see the adjusted ROE and the adjusted ROTE at 13.3 and 7.4. Again, adjusted means that they're adjusted by the amortization of intangibles related to acquisitions divided by the equity and the tangible equity average of the company. On slide 15, let's look closely at the segments, and we'll see the life segment, where you can see an operating growth and of revenues for investments that's very important, driven by the net results, which reached 116 billion pesos, up 2.4. And we'd like to highlight the good level of the premiums, which grew 11.4. Without the pension and production equal to charge, they would be growing 23.6%. Also, we see labor risks growing 15% and group life growing 60.4%. This growth of 60.4 is fed also by the consolidation of insurance, life insurance in Mexico, which added 50 billion pesos, as we saw in the introduction in the company. And looking at the indicators on the lower part of the slide, first we see claims rate. Claims rate dropped about 200 basic points. The technical result grew 23.7%. And operating expenses show an increase that's related to more fees, particularly because of the change in the trans-channel mix and in solutions, and a growth of 7.3 in revenues from investments, which totaled 161 billion pesos. On slide 16, we see the segment of property and casualty. Here we highlight that revenues from investments compensate an increase in taxes and an effect of hyperinflation in Argentina. First, we want to highlight the adjusted net profit, which reached 49.5 billion. With a positive growth of 15.3%, it's adjusted with two components, the amortization of that intangibles from the acquisitions and the expenses because of the inflation in Argentina. On the other hand, the net profit of the segment, keeping in mind those accounts which are not cash flow, reached 27.3 billion, up 7.3%. In the middle, we see premiums with the different solutions. Premiums had a growth of 10.8%, which in local currency reached 19.3%. This growth was hit, as we said initially, by the devaluation of the Argentinian pesos and a combined reason of 105.5% with the degradation of 86 basic points. There was some impairment in the claims rate, especially related to the businesses of fire in Chile and in Colombia, and also in cars because of the spare parts in Argentina because of the inflation and devaluation there. However, there was less reserves because of the seasonability of several businesses, including several in Chile, which issue multi-annual policies and which were written in 2018. So with the net, the claims rate increased, as you can see, by 240 basic points. The operating expenses still show efforts of efficiency, which climbed 3.2%. The technical result, which was very constant from 292 billion to 289 billion, decreasing 1.2%, and in revenues from investments significantly grew up 47.4%, mainly explained in Colombia because of the variable income and the exchange rate, in Argentina because of inflation and exchange rate, and the reduction of the interest rates in several countries that improved the fixed income, especially Panama. Now let's move on, please, to slide 17. There we can look closely at the healthcare segment, which continues with a revenue and a technical result with double-digit growth. Here we see a decrease in the net profit, which reached 18.7 billion, down 2.5. However, profit before tax grew 16. Why? Again, we had more taxes related to a higher number of expenses, non-deductible. In revenues and percentages of costs, we see some impairment of 104 basic points, especially in the claims rate of the EPS for more inclusions in the POS system, an increase of several disabilities. However, operating expenses, as you can see, are growing 6.3, very controlled. The technical result continues growing double-digit, as we said, 10.9, reaching 122 billion pesos. And in revenues from investments are not very relevant in this segment, grew 3.3%. The total affiliates are 3.2 million, up 15.7. We'd like to highlight the growth in revenues of the plan of the healthcare, which is 63%, and that account contributes very positively to increase the profitability of this segment. So now let's listen to David, who will tell you about the highlights of SURA Asset Management. So please look at slide 19, where we'll look at some highlights of SURA Asset Management. The company still grows in number of customers, surpassing 20 million customers, up 5%, and in assets under management, which reached 445 trillion pesos, increasing 13%. The contribution of SURA Asset Management to the net profit of Grupo SURA was 228 billion pesos and grew 72%. It's important to highlight that we recorded alpha in profitability in the main funds, and we reached leadership positions in terms of profitability of the main mandatory funds. The company still is focused on improving its value offer and in turning the experience of the client into something that sets it apart. And for that, it's trying to reinforce its efforts to have better satisfaction indexes. And this is reflected in more satisfaction index. We have invested in technology to develop operating models that are more efficient and innovative. And we are beginning to see the results, such as the digital channel in Chile, which already represents 10% of the sale of new sales, and its cost is less than half than when we did it with the traditional physical channel. In Mexico, we have reduced the time of affiliation significantly, also increasing the productivity of our trade force. We're also enhancing the value offered, and we are building the regional platform of voluntary businesses of savings and investments and in investment management. The increase that we have in administrative expenses is mainly focused on these investments, which seek to continue developing our businesses, always with long-term vision and obviously to create value to our clients, which is a fundamental guideline. So with this information, let's listen to Ricardo Jaramillo, who will give us more details about the figures of SURA Asset Management. Thank you, David. Now let's look at slide 20, where we highlight the operating results of the company. We see how They were driven by the yield of the reserve and revenues from the equity method from Protección. First, on the left-hand side, you can see the operating revenues, including the insurance margin, reached $793 billion in the quarter, up 36%, which we can see its composition on the left-hand side table. And we see how the main revenues, which are those from fees, grew 6% in pesos. The equity method from Protección contributed 49 billion pesos, up 259% in pesos. The yield of the reserve in this quarter contributed this close to 111 billion pesos, up 1,000%. Remember that in the first quarter or the last year, we had very low reserves. And with these main accounts, we reached those revenues already mentioned of 793 billion pesos in the first quarter, up 36%. Operating expenses reached 408 billion pesos, increasing 11.5%, and reflect the control in the expenses and expenses of sale and administrative expenses. However, it also shows some investments made in the business to develop new business models as we signed the introduction for more efficiency, leverage and technology, and initially they were more seen as more expenses in the income statement. The operating profit of the company reached 385 billion pesos, and the yield of the reserve. The idea is the implicit yield behind this reserve can be about 5%. Now let's move to slide 21. Here we see graphically the composition of the net profit of Sura Asset Management, and we see how 227 billion pesos were reached of contribution of net profit of group, to Grupo Sura, up 72.6%, where we saw in 132 billion pesos in the first quarter of 2018 compared. And we can see also that the mandatory business grew to 116 billion, up 58.7%. On the other hand, we see the ROE adjusted and ROTE adjusted. First one, 6.9, the second one, 27.3. Remember, adjusted means the amortization of intangibles of acquisitions divided by the equity and the tangible equity average of the companies. Slide 22, here we see the mandatory segment. Here the yield of the reserve drove the growth of the profit by 58.7%. Operating revenues reached 660 billion pesos, up 38.4%. Remember, the operating revenues gathered the fees, the reserve, and the equity method. The fees grew, as you can see on the bottom, 6%, reaching 482 billion pesos. The assets under management of the company reached 390 trillion, up 13%, and here you can see the good level in Mexico, 19.2%, Peru, 11%. On the other hand, the salary base reached 40.2 trillion, up 8.7%. Also, the alpha and the leadership in profitability of the main funds and the entire digital transformation process to enable the service and proposals of higher value for customers, which is reflected in higher administrative expenses. On the bottom left, you can see that it grew 18.4%. Okay. In revenues from reserves, we see a good level, growing 992 in this segment, reaching 120 billion pesos. And sales expenses, like the total of the company, grew 3.1% controlled. Now let's move on, please, to slide 23. Here we see the voluntary segment, which continues in the construction of the regional platform. Remember, we have two businesses here, the savings and investments and the investment management business. Let's look at revenues from fees. Here we can highlight that these reached 60.3 billion pesos, a growth of 3.6. And in this revenue from fees, we see that several of the customers, given the bad results of the market of capitals in 2018, migrated towards fixed income funds, which have usually a better commission. The AUMs presented a growth, and we see that the savings and investments reached $29.8 trillion, net flow $1 trillion, and a yield of $0.9 trillion, and the AUM of investment management reached $36.9 trillion. Remember that here we have $11.5 trillion common that the unit of investment management manages from the savings and investments unit. We reached a launch close of 19 products in the region, totaling close to 372 portfolios, and we have the priorities of 2019 in the unit of investment management to complete the organizational structure. Remember, this is a new unit in 2018, totally independent, also to enhance the operational platform of all of these countries, and also to have a development of the global distribution model of the developed funds. The total operating revenues of the segment grew 17.3%, reaching $86.2 billion. The sales expenses grew 7%, and the administrative expenses, as we said before, grew significantly, 18.4%. But it reflects what we said before, the structure of investment management, which in the first quarter of 2018 was still in the implementation process. It's very important to highlight the positive alpha. We have close to 80% of the funds with a positive alpha, with AUMs that are managed in this segment. And we see the distribution in the different countries, including the unit of investment management with 55%, as if it was a country or a separate unit, mainly driven by Chile 20%, Mexico 5%, Peru 6%, and Colombia 13%. So with this, we complete this presentation, and we begin the Q&A session. Thank you. As of now, we begin the Q&A session. We'll begin receiving the questions verbally given in Spanish. Those that are listening in English or connected by web, please send your question through the platform. Later, we will be answering those questions. For those that are in the Spanish line, please, if you have a question, press star 1. If you want to remove your question, please press pound. Again, if you have a question, press star 1. Right now, we have Catherine Ortiz from the Vivienda Corredores. Good morning to you all. Thank you so much for this invitation. Could you please give us more information about what's happening in Chile with the pension reform? We're hearing that the government is available to create the 4% of the quotation of the employer. So I'd like to know what's your opinion on what's happening there. And also, could you please give us your opinion of what's happening as well in Colombia, because we're seeing a proposal of a pension reform. And what talks have you had with the government on this subject matter? Thank you. Catherine, good morning. I would like to begin by replying what's happening in Colombia. Well, the government has announced that it will present a reform by the end of this year. Still, we are not aware of the details of this project. However, we do know that surely it will be based on a pillars system in which the individual savings segment will play an important role. And we've been working a lot with Asofondos and really all of the players to provide proposals to give a system that really solves the problems that we have in Colombia, such as coverage. which is a very delicate subject matter because coverage is very low in Colombia, and also to eliminate or to better create a system that's more universal, but to that the country can pay, because really our deficit has been creating in time paying pensions, and that definitely is a problem that will hurt the finances of the states. So we are aware of this. We've been following this. We've been actively involved with Azul Fondos, and we hope that we can make a good reform in Colombia that will meet the needs of this country. With regards to Chile, well, we don't see that discussions are developing much in Congress because the Labor or Employment Commission there has not given its okay to the reform project to start even discussing this reform. So until the Labor Commission does not give its approval, we cannot really listen to anything significant about this. With regards to the management of the 4% in addition on an 8-year term, you can see that this is an increase of 0.5% per year for the employers, and there are many proposals involved here of entities that can handle that 4%. However, in that sense, still, it's quite early to give an opinion. I don't know if Carlos would like to say something else. Well, in Suda Asset Management, we're following closely these discussions, and we still have our condition in which we really have to make a comprehensive discussion and to listen what the Congress in Chile will be saying early on, especially with the pillars system and the different reforms. I believe that the government has been insistent on having a comprehensive discussion of all of these matters, and that for us is great. And I think that the diagnostic is quite clear. We have to look at that 4% that will benefit the system and those that have savings and pension. So we have a positive outlook of this system in general. Okay, thank you. So what you're saying is that recently there are discussions that the government would agree that 4% would be managed by a public entity? I mean, that's why I'm asking. That's because really that's what the opposition was requesting in Chile. I think that with the initial discussions and from the initial proposal, other alternatives can arise as well, as Dr. Bohanini said, because they can be handled by insurers at a given time. They were talking about other players. But I still believe that we're just beginning these talks, and we'll see what happens in time. But again, the system and that 4% more from the employers on an annual basis, we think it's positive for the pension system in Chile. Perfect. Thank you so much for your answers. Right now we have Estefania Mosqueda. Good morning. Thank you for your presentation. I would like to talk about the yield of the reserves, because there's a huge volatility here. And secondly, it's for Suda Asset Management. And And with regards to the use of technology, do you think that technology can be having an impact on your financial statements on a medium term? Let's give the floor to Carlos for both questions. Okay, look. With regards to the reserve, you know that each country has its own special investment regime regarding pension funds managed. Really, these funds are hard to make large movements on a short-term basis. So everything is more on a medium and long-term basis, guided and really depending on the volatility. If you want to, we can send you the AUMs invested. In local currency, you can see 71%, and in foreign currency, the rest. And there you can see in every country the growth and the opportunity given for alternatives, which is 5% of those investments made. 71 in fixed income and 30% in variable income. With regards to investments in technology, we believe that clearly in the mandatory business, what we seek essentially is to invest in technology to create alternative channels, especially to reach our customers. We're talking about digital channels, investments in points of sales where the customer can arrive easier, to be more efficient with our customer service. Also, investments are made to create, as we said in the presentation, a customer experience in which our strategy with our customer will allow us to tailor our service more efficiently in the mandatory and in wealth management. So what do we expect when it comes to the financial statements to have organic growth in technology and customer experience of about $20-25 million a year? We believe that the yield of the expenses and fees will be handled because we'll be really replacing the channels, the traditional channel, with these alternative channels that use technology. When it comes to administrative expenses, we're also expecting growth that do not surpass 6-7%, and the impact is more related to the creation of the investment management unit last year, in which we hired some personnel for that unit. But as months pass by this year, that growth will reach 6-7% only. Perfect. Thank you for your answer. Right now, we have no further questions. Sylvia, we do have one from the platform, which Francisco Echeverri, why do we have a vertical drop since the 6th of March? Good morning. My name is Ricardo Jaramillo Francisco. Really, we don't have information that's other than the information that the market had back then with the fall of the percentages of the growth worldwide because of the trade war between the U.S. and China. But it is clear that Suda's share has dropped a bit more than the coal cap, but really we don't have any type of reason or knowledge behind what's happening with the share. We do expect that with these great results, there's a reaction. Okay, if we have ended our Q&A session, this ends our teleconference for today. Thank you for attending our invitation, and we'd like to remind you that our investor relations department is available if you have any question later on. Have a nice day. I'm sorry, we have 2 audio questions. Okay, we'll take them. Nicolas from Cinco. Good morning for everyone. I just wanted to make a follow-up. What are the tentative dates to get out of the annuities in Chile, and what funds will be used to amortize the debt? Carlos will reply. Nicolas, the authorization was given early March. The money was received, and we're waiting for certain movements to bring that money. And we're still looking at some possibilities of investments and to use possibly 20 or 30% of that money to reduce our debt. But that's something that we'll be deciding on later on this year. Thank you so much. I'd like to emphasize something that we provided in the presentation, and it's that the liabilities and assets related to annuities are not in our balance sheet from the beginning of this year. Since this, as of March 31st, nothing is related to the annuities in assets or liabilities. Keep that in mind, please. Okay, thank you. Right now, Daniel from BGP. Good morning. I have a couple of questions. First, it's about the portfolio, especially on slide 10 where you show the value, the theoretical value of the portfolio, the net portfolio of SUDA, which is at 30 billion pesos. And the market cap of that share is more at 19. So it's a very significant discount with the value that you estimate. And keeping in mind that discount, are you planning to implement any type of measure so that the market can acknowledge the implicit value that you deem that your portfolio has? That's my first question. My second question is related to the SUDA asset management business. I would really like to understand better, how do you see in for the second quarter of 2019, the reserve, especially looking at the turbulence in the financial market, and how are you positioning yourselves to be prepared for a negative impact? Okay, Ricardo will answer your question about the portfolio, and Carlos Oquendo about the reserve for the second quarter. Daniel, good morning. Indeed, what you've said is true. In our internal calculations, we see that the portfolio can be at a range of about those 30 billion that you mentioned, and the capitalization is at 21. Reasons related to that discount? Well, there could be several. It could be a discount for liquidity. It could be that an investor or an analyst in the market doesn't see the hidden value because of in a company like Sudamericana, or because there are other reasons. Really, it's very difficult because each investor could have a different approach. What's true is that the underlying assets of the company are much more powerful than what the market sees in price. And as you said, we, and that's a task that management has, and it's that we constantly seek tools so that the market understand the value behind the company and to have that peace of mind to capitalize the value. What do I think recently happened? We have a liquidity that has been seen in the Colombian market, and because of that, internally we have to see how to address this and to seek tools so that the market can be more liquid. So I can't give you details about the projects that we will be carrying out with this topic, but the company is working on different topics to increase its liquidity and to give more visibility of its potential value for investors. Thank you, Ricardo. May I ask something else? Have you considered to make a spin-off that are not listed of the companies like Sudam and Sudamericana? Well, those are options that the company or that the group has always. We've made different studies, always understanding the pros and cons of those decisions. Right now, we have no project that's targeted to that. We do believe that today we have a share that we have to strengthen of Grupo Suda and to have a more liquidity of that share to materialize the value for the assets of the company, especially. Daniel, with regards to what we expect in the second quarter with reserve, we had a very good month of April. May has returned part of what we saw positive in April. We see a lot of volatility, especially related to the commercial trade war between the U.S. and China, which is shifting really a lot of the market. As of May, we'll be having more prudent decisions, keeping in mind that volatility, the absolute results are still good. But obviously, we expect a return that's more stable for the rest in the second quarter, keeping in mind that May has been very complicated for the return of investments. Thank you. A more specific question, could you please share with us what's the VAR of Suda Asset Management and how it has performed with such volatility in the market? I cannot give you that answer. However, you can speak with the investments team, and we there can share with you some of that information at Grupo Suda. Okay, thank you. There are no other questions. Again, then, if there are no more questions, we would like to thank you for joining us, and we'd like to remind you that we are available for you if you have any questions ahead. Thank you, and have a good day. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This ends today's call. You may hang up.